WildTalkRadio.com.
It's time for CB Radio Not So Live. Live. Reviewing AEW All Out. Didn't we just do this? Oh, we did, but it was all in, not all out. No one got fired since then, right? Oh, they did? Great. Well, here are your hosts. The producer. The intern. And the Keishi.
We really can't do one of these shows without an incident happening after a show. It just happens. It's CB Radio Not So Live, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Game. We support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use Kirko Rock, it's like in the Fortnite app shop. Hashtag Epic Partner. I'm the producer, Sir Rockin. We have the one and only intern King Kittens.
Welcome to Collision, the pay-per-view?
Something like that.
And no, we don't mean what happened behind the scenes. We meant, actually, the show, Collision, on screen.
Is that a fair assessment, Keishi?
I thought it was a little more than a collision. Unrelated, what's a six-letter word that means attack violently?
I don't know.
Okay. I'll go back to that crossword later. I mean, at least there were no incidents after this show that I heard about.
Yeah, we didn't surprise you with one this time.
Wait, what?
What? A wrestler who doesn't listen to the read-up on the dirt sheets?
What?
How dare.
Damn it, Keishi.
I'm just trying to enjoy the wrestling. And not give a shit about anything else that happens behind the scenes. Ooh, a sale. I'm going to try that. Thanks, Lindsay.
There you go. So CM Punk is fired. More of that down the road, because that's not what we're here to talk about tonight.
Yeah, we got to let that simmer for a few days.
It's called content. We're content creators, and we're going to make it worth your while to tune in to the other shows as we talk about it later in the week. But I didn't see the pre-show, Brent. Tell me about it.
Well, for the pre-show, we had three matches. First up, we had our Battle Royal, where the winner gets a donation to a charity of choice. I also like how the charity of choice that was announced did not have the winner out there to announce it.
No. No.
It was, well, I think it was, what, Tony Schiavone that just announced it?
No, Nigel.
Oh yeah, Nigel. Nigel got in the ring and said it was.
No, he didn't even get in the ring. He had to stand. What was awkward was, do I go in the ring? It was like halfway through the main show. I was like, do I stand in the ring or do I stand here? They cut to the camera as he was trying to figure out where he had to go for it.
But I mean, it was your standard battle royal fare. You had the guy who was going to do something really stupid and align everybody against him. This time it was Tony Nese. And then, you know, like I said, you had your standard Battle Royal fare. It came down to Adam Page and Brian Cage, not in a cage. Christian wasn't involved. And then you had that spot that has been the case for several Battle Royals now, where they're both on the apron fighting back and forth. Who's gonna get it? Was Adam Page that one?
They do go to that well quite a bit, hey.
They really do. Like, you don't have that spot where someone just grabs the other and just chucks them over the top. It has to be like, he goes over the top. Oh no, wait, he doesn't touch the floor yet. And the other guy gets dragged out. And then they fight on the apron for like 2 minutes. It's, yeah.
So that's wrestling trope number one that they went through.
Yeah.
Tonight. We got more.
Then we had the women's match. That's right. Just everyone, don't be alarmed. There was two women's matches.
Oh my.
Yay.
I will say I feel a little bad for Athena and a little bad for Hikaru Shida. Athena, because she is the ROH women's champion and she ends up on the pre-show.
I mean, Hangman.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Hangman's a former world champion. He's winning an opener battle royal, so.
Yeah. Well, the thing is I know that they wanted Athena in the pre-show, and supposedly it was going to be against Billy Starks, the 18-year-old girl, but apparently she was injured and couldn't go, so they created this 6-woman tag to be on there instead. And boy, talk about the difference a week makes for Hikaru Shida. You go from having a match on the main card at the biggest wrestling event that there's been, ticket sales-wise, and now she's on the pre-show.
So, because he didn't tell you who was in the match, Shida, Nightingale, and Sky Blue taking on Athena, Mercedes Martinez, and Diamante. Team Shida won.
Yeah, Team Shida won. You had to get Sky Blue out there, you know, being Chicago.
At least she won a match, because normally she loses.
Yeah, she got the win.
She finally wins.
Send that crowd home happy-ish.
I guess. And tell me about the Trios tag team titles, because Dennis Rodman was there.
Yeah, Dennis Rodman was there.
The Acclaimed.
Boy, was he.
We got the Acclaimed taking on what we have affectionately called on this network, Team TNA.
Yeah, Jarrett, Lethal, Singh, Billy Gunn, and the Acclaimed retain their titles.
Boy, that was a shocker.
They put butts in seats, I guess. Acclaimed got over.
I like the Acclaimed.
They're fine.
I didn't understand why Dennis Rodman stayed in the ring, though.
Because he doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Well, also, I shouldn't say that. I understood once I saw him moving.
Yeah, he doesn't really... You know, those big guys in the NBA, they don't really work all that well after, you know, age 40.
Yeah, he looks like, you know, all that hard work on the court has definitely come back to bite him.
All that hard work has led to a hard life afterwards.
Anyway, let's talk about the main show. ROH Tag Team Titles on the line on an AEW show. MJF and Adam Cole, Better Than You, Baby, defending against the Dark Order, who apparently still exists. Alex Reynolds and John Silver.
With Evil Uno there.
With Evil Uno.
I don't know if Stu Grayson is still technically part of the Dark Order, because he fights on Ring of Honor.
He's not.
He joined another crew I can't remember the name of off the top of my head.
Stu.
Yeah.
Wait. Hang on. One of the guys that was the originator of the group is not there anymore.
It doesn't matter anymore. So, wrestling trope number 2 of the night. A wrestler gets injured and then has to be taken to the back only to make the miraculous comeback. Baby face trope. Here we go.
I mean, it was a good way to get MJF on the show, but also have him not wrestle.
Yeah.
Have him protected.
Good match. MJF and Adam Cole retained.
Again, we have two guys main eventing the big show and then opening that. Now, to be fair, opening a show is not that bad because, as we've said here before, if you're not gonna close, you might as well open.
I mean, they opened the pre-show last time, so this was fine.
Yeah, it's all good. And Adam Cole, baby, got his work in. MJF got the kangaroo kick over.
And they won with another double clothesline.
The double clothesline!
But that's not the big story of it. It was when MJF was going to the back, Samoa Joe came out for his match, and then MJF got shoved out of the way like it's whatever year it was when it happened on WWE.
2015-ish.
There you go.
I'm guessing.
That sounds about maybe 16. Sounds about right. Anyway, it doesn't matter the year. They went to that, and then... They were trying to stop MJF from going, but we charged down, and him and Samoa Joe battled, and then Joe got him in a guillotine choke. Looks like we're gonna get Joe and MJF probably at whatever the not the pay-per-view, but...
Full Gear?
No, not Full Gear. The New York show.
Oh, Grand Slam.
Grand Slam, probably. I think they're doing a tournament, so probably he'll win something to get them, but... We're going to probably get that match at some point.
Oh, yeah, because Roderick Strong was talking about winning the tournament, and he was being the whiny heel.
I mean, I'm looking. Samoa Joe, MJF should be good.
Yeah.
Joe's going to kill you.
He killed
Shane. But MJF will retain.
Joe kills Shane Taylor for the ROH TV title.
This match went about as long as everyone thought it would, including the announcers.
It was one of two.
As I'm going through this recap, I hope Taylor can permanently escape paywall purgatory. Two big beefy men slapping meat.
Oh, that comes up again in another match. We just had something in between first.
Yeah, I mean, Joe and Shane was what it was. But yeah, before we get to the other men slapping meat where they started chanting meat, then all you saw was Sean Stasiak's pictures all over Twitter.
God damn it.
It was TNT title on the line, Luchasaurus, Darby Allin. Darby Allin looked like he died in a picture I saw last night before I saw this match. And then I watched this match and went, yeah, he died.
Okay. Okay. Please tell me Darby Allin is going to take a break. Please.
Does he ever? I mean,
he needs to, or he's going to Jeff Hardy himself.
He'll be fine.
I know he's straight edge, but he will Jeff Hardy himself before he's 35.
So Brent, got a question for you.
Yes.
Where was the heel turn that you told me about?
Ooh.
Look, okay. I thought Nick Wayne was going to pull the whole, I thought he was going to do the Roderick Strong angle of like, you're accepting this other guy when you shouldn't. It's going to piss me off, and I'm going to turn my back on you. Instead, he was just sitting there the whole time clapping for Darby Allin while Luchasaurus walked up a set of stairs on his back, literally.
I mean, Nick Wayne is possibly smaller than Darby Allin, so what was he going to do?
I don't know, but Christian certainly wants to do the concerto. He got concerto blocked twice.
He did. Christian trying to get Wayne to throw in the towel, he was having none of it. But Luchasaurus retains after a couple tombstone pile drivers and then big old lariat to the back of the head to effectively kill Darby Allin. That was a picture I saw. Like, he's just laying there flat out, and then it's like, oh, he just looks dead.
Yeah, the face paint doesn't help the matter.
like, he was the action shot I saw, he was like dead on the chair.
Just yeah, bloody. No, that was the setup, was he's just laying there on the chair, just almost asking for the concerto to just like end his misery.
You had Sean Spears, Action Andretti, and a few others run out to make the save. So they found Sean Spears because he was doing the convention.
I was going to say, the funny thing is leading into all of this, they're like, oh, the locker room ran out to save him. I recognize Spears from the stupid haircut and the fact that he was holding a steel chair to get Christian out of there. Everyone else, I had no clue who they were in the moment.
Were there. They came out last.
Who?
Best friends. Chuck and Trent.
Well,
they were at the very, very back, though.
Well, they're number one, they're the veterans, so they know better.
Yeah.
And two, I mean, we talked about Rodman and his movement. I don't know if you've seen the best friends try to get to the ring. They're not that quick.
No.
I don't think they were in that much of a hurry.
I don't think so.
They didn't show up at the end either.
All right, Keish. Set this match up. What is it?
Oh, hold on. Again! Two big, beefy men slapping meat again.
Again. Miro, Powerhouse Hobbs. Where they actually were bringing up the whole two big beefy men slapping meat all throughout the match. Fans were chanting meat, meat, meat.
Every time someone hit each other, you heard meat chant. Miro brought out the, was it 12 beats of the Baldrin, and they were just chanting meat every time it hit his chest.
So much meat flying around, being bandied about. If this was a WWE show, you would actually have meat come out, like different things of meat. And they'll be
That's the next match.
That's the next match. They're going to actually have them slap each other with meat.
Yeah, it'll be the meat match.
The meat match.
Or something. Maybe they'll call it the tenderizer.
Tenderizer. I mean, it was good. Felt a little long.
It was a middle. It was a middle match on a pay-per-view match. Is what it felt like.
Miro got the win. They did the bro handshake. Yeah, we got this. And then Hobbs is like, nah, I'm going to attack you from behind.
Nah, bruh.
But to make the save, hot and flexible. They didn't say a name, just his wife, hot and flexible.
Because they're trying to figure out, do we use her real name or do we come up with something that we can market?
Because she's not under contract yet. So hot and flexible came to the ring, a.k.a. Lana, a.k.a. CJ Perry. She hit Hobbs with a chair. He no-sold it. He got in her face. Miro then got up. Knocked him out with the chair. Took a head chair shot to the head. Why? I don't know why. But it happened. And the Miro looks at his wife. and leaves. Like, why are you here? You shouldn't be here.
Didn't he say something like he forsake her or something?
Yeah, everything.
He said as he was leaving the ring, he's like, you're not real. And he ran away.
Yeah, because he forsaken everything on this road to redemption or whatever.
Yeah, he forsook God because it kept him from his hot wife.
But then his hot wife showed up, who's hot and flexible.
But apparently hot also not flexible. Real.
I don't understand. I don't care. It's hot and flexible. That's something for them to put on a t-shirt at AEWshop.com.
Well, that's just what he was calling her all the time.
Was it?
Yeah, when Miro first came and he was like video game Miro, he would always talk about her as his hot and flexible wife.
Oh, I forgot. Yep. I always remember hot wife part. I don't remember the flexible part. But
it wasn't the hot Asian wife. That's Carl Anderson.
That's Carl Anderson. Sir. Yeah. So there you go. TBS title, women's championship. Chris Statlander, Ruby Soho going in this matchup. Chris Statlander has never beaten Ruby Soho. That changed.
With help.
With help from Tony Storm, of all people, who stole the spray paint when she was, because she was hiding under the ring, and she just started spraying the air, and like was like, "What are you doing?"
My favorite part is the fact that they were not where Tony anticipated. So they're on the hard cam side. Tony comes out from the opposite side and has to do that awkward, like, bent over run around the corner to try and get the spray can from Ruby. So she had to go all the way around the ring.
I thought that made it fine because, you know, she's a little crazy right now. She's losing her mind. Yep. Just a little bit. It's playing into
this way. Oh, no, wait, this way.
Yeah, it's over. Oh, wait, over here. Hey.
So Tony's sort of being crazy because they thought she was going to be in the parking lot chasing or doing something. I don't know. But, good match. Chris Statlander retains the title, as we mentioned.
Mama's still home.
All in all, it's worked.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Derek Zoolander.
Oh, in the entrance. Was it JR who didn't know what was going on? I don't think.
Probably.
Probably. If someone didn't get the reference, it's either JR number one or number two would be Taz.
One of them didn't get the thing, but it's fine. One of the better matches on the show, Ricky Starks versus the Dragon. Bryan Danielson, who's back.
As a face.
Well,
For now.
Final countdown for the entrance. Ricky Starks is wearing the Cody Rhodes weightlifting belt because...
Somebody has to.
They probably ordered a bunch and they just had to, you know, do something with. This was really good. Lots of blood from Danielson early on. The theme of the night, blood.
Why?
Because it's AEW. That's what it is. AEW.
I know strap match and it's supposed to heighten things, but the one, I will say there was one part in the match where I looked at a spot and I just went, yeah, that's not happening. So Bryan Danielson had Ricky Starks on the outside and he was going to do the through the ropes dive, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the strap and it goes under the bottom rope where Ricky is. And all I can think is if Bryan goes for that dive, he's going to like cartoon himself. Like it'll be one of those spots where he leaps out and then that strap will catch on the middle rope and he'll just go,
You had Ricky the Dragon Steamboat involved as he was doing commentary, but he also got involved a little bit. Took a bump at ringside when Danielson did a top rope dive to the outside. This was a really good match.
Yep. Boy, did they use that strap.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Boy, did they.
Beat each other.
The
bell lock with the strap was really sick looking.
Yeah. It was two small beefy men. Strapping meat.
Ayo.
They beat the piss out of each other. It was wild.
This was the kinky match of the night.
And then he did joke him out, which some people could be into, with a strap. Who knows?
Look, we're not kink shaming here.
No, if you're into. If you enjoy being choked, then by all means, enjoy it. With a strap, apparently. Bryan Danielson wins. They got to do a lot to repair for Ricky. They were trying to put him over, like, yeah, he gained a lot of respect, yada, yada. It's like, I don't know. They got to rebuild him. We'll see.
Well, they don't know what to do with him in general. It's like, he had a good face run, it seemed, for a bit, and then it was, okay, we're going to put him in that program with Punk.
And now that Punk's gone, everything's dead, so they got to rethink things.
Yeah,
and it's like, even when it was like, okay, we're going to face Punk, they just instantly turned him heel. And it was just kind of like, oh, okay, even though, like, they seem to be doing the slow burn with Punk going, I don't know.
Who knows? They don't know anymore.
And we never will.
And we never will. Shabbat. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and, well, Brian will be busy for the next foreseeable future. Apparently he's going to get a nice new job with Collision.
That's okay.
That's fine, because he's got kids, so Saturday's work.
He's going to need it, so.
Shibata, Kingston versus Claudio, Yuta. It was all right.
Yeah.
Surprising with the finish with the uppercut, but it was fine.
Yeah, there wasn't much.
There
wasn't anything that really stood out. It was a good match.
It was good, but it was a match. So back to Brent's earlier point, it was a match you would see on television.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a Collision main event, or, you know.
A top, like, of the hour Dynamite match.
I was going to say, or like end of the first hour, top of second Dynamite. Yeah, that was where this kind of fit.
Mm-hmm.
Takeshka, Omega.
Good. These guys beat the high holy hell out of each other.
I was just about to say that. They didn't need a strap to beat the crap out of each other. Holy.
No, Takeshka just needs a suplex and Kenny, you know, can narrowly avoid disaster.
Yeah.
I liked the story they kind of told with Takeshka focusing on bits of Kenny that are hurt.
Or that had been.
Yeah. I will say the one spot that was cheesy for me was when they were outside, he had just hit Omega with, like, the suplex, and Omega's laying there holding his neck. He's going to use the chair on him, but the referee's like, no, get inside. And so then Dawn just piles four chairs on top of Kenny. And instead of Kenny, you know, just out of instinct being like, fuck this, and just like pushing it out of the way, you see him like angling it and holding it on his chest like, huh, what am I going to do?
Oh no, these are suddenly super heavy.
And then, yeah, Takeshi goes with the flying senton over the top onto, well, I think one chair at that point. I think the tower had fallen.
It happens.
It happens. But overall, I will say, you know, I'm not normally a huge Kenny Omega person. I think it's just one of those, like, everyone hypes him up as being the best bout machine. But I will give him credit. He really did put together a good match for this. And you can tell they want Takeshka to get over.
Yeah, Takeshka got the win. They're trying. It's got to lead to something. He's got to go, once he's done with Omega and this whole thing, he's got to win something to make it matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what they do with a lot of people. Every Chris Jericho feud. Someone will beat Chris Jericho in the feud and then do nothing. They don't win anything. They gotta win something for the feud to matter. Or you gotta beat another big opponent for it to matter. And if they're making Takeshka, it sucks because there's no championship for him to go after. He's not gonna go after Mox. He can't go after the TNT title. He's kinda screwed because... And he's not gonna go after MJF right away. So he's gonna be in a position where he needs another big opponent to... dethrone for a champ to get a championship, and right now with heels dominating, he's in a position where
unless he goes after the Pure and takes out Shibata,
yeah, but that's
if he gets the Pure, that feels really underwhelming.
I mean, it's not the title that the only title he can go after is the Pure title because basically every other one is held by heels. But
yeah.
Like from a standpoint, and this is only gonna. It's only going to matter to people who watch wrestling in Japan or like super hardcore AEW fans, but Takeshita taking out Shibata is kind of a big deal because Shibata is kind of a big deal.
Beating the opponent is a big deal. The championship he holds, not that much.
No, but I mean, the Pure Championship makes sense for someone like Shibata to hold it because that's his style.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, if you're going to put a title around him, that's the only one you can right now.
FTR, at least, go on.
There'd be a bit of a story to it.
There would be. FTR and the Bucks taking on the Bullet Club Gold. Lots of super kicks, lots of maybe we'll do other people's moves, and in the end, the Bullet Club Gold get the win.
So my favorite part about this last night, we're playing some Fortnite.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there, and I was like, Keishi, just tell me who wins. And so we're watching, and all of a sudden I hear, oh. And I was like, wait, did the Bullet Club win? And he's like, uh-huh. And you'll never guess who made the pin. And I was like, oh, God, one of the guns. And he's like, yep. At that point, I just started laughing because I was like, all right.
I mean, it was off of a Blade Runner. So, I mean, Jay White was involved. But, yeah, Colton got the pin there.
Guns on top. That's all that matter. Man, event time. Moxley, Cassidy, International Championship on the line. 31 title defenses coming in. This was number 32. Was not successful because he got the ever-living crap beat out of him by Jon Moxley. He was bleeding like no other on this show.
He bled enough for both of them, which is probably why Jon Moxley, surprise, surprise, did not bleed.
I know.
No, but he had plenty of blood on him thanks to biting Orange Cassidy a bunch of times.
Indeed. Yeah. Like, for a while, it was like a father beating up his son. It felt like...
It was daddy taking him behind the woodshed. Jesus.
Like, he looked like a kid out there. No offense to Orange Cassidy, but he looked like a kid, even though he was like a 38-year-old man.
Even though he has a beard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's small, and Jon Moxley just beat him up forever.
I like how Orange Cassidy got busted open by hitting the ring post, and the announcer selling it for 2 minutes of, oh, well, you know, he hit the corner of that ridged ring post that's there. Oh, yeah, you know, that corner can be real dangerous.
Really, really dangerous. All right, Brent, go. Go.
Okay. Here we go. Everyone who listens to CB Radio Not So Live knows I have one big qualm with AEW. And that is, the referees have no fucking clue what they're doing. So we get a spot on the outside where it is Moxley and Orange Cassidy fighting. In every other match, in every other instance that we see this, Keishi, what should the referee be doing?
Counting.
They should be in the ring going, one, two, no. In this instance, he is standing right there with Moxley and Orange Cassidy going, John, you've got to get him back in the ring. You can't win like this. You've got to get him back in there. For like 3 minutes, he's standing out there while Moxley's beating the high holy hell out of Orange Cassidy. And they're talking about the pool of blood at their feet, the announcers. And then finally, Moxley gets into the ring and it's like, all right, oh wait, now. One, two, and we had wrestling trope number 3 of the night, which is the person in peril is going to be outside the ring until 9 and then explode into the ring to save themselves before the countout.
Yeah, they do that a lot, too.
It's overdone.
And we had it twice in this match.
It's overbooked. It's a terrible spot. It's every week we see it. This spot means nothing anymore.
We got it in the main event last week, too, with MJF when he did the high jump flop into the ring.
Yeah, it's a spot everyone does every single week. You'll see it on Thursdays, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Fridays. Anywhere you see wrestling on Saturdays, it's there. It's an overdone spot.
But Rock can tell you, like, I was complaining about it in our chat. I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe the ref wasn't counting. And Rock's going, referee discretion, because he knows that will set me off.
Yeah.
And then he watches the thing and he goes, no, it was bad.
It was bad. I told him it was bad.
It was awful. I could understand if it was like 30 seconds, you know, hey guys, get back in the ring. And then the referee goes in and is like, well, I'm going to start counting y'all. No, it was for 3 minutes he stands out there lecturing.
And then finally,
okay, I'll count now.
But I'll still say this, it is still referee's discretion.
And that's bullshit because later in the match he was counting from the start.
Again, referee discretion. Jon Moxley, your new international champion, ending the reign of Orange Cassidy.
Who got a nice ovation at the very end?
He did.
The very end of the night just reaffirmed one thing to me.
Hmm.
So Moxley wins, and you have the BCC come rolling out, including Bryan Danielson, who apparently has made a heel turn during the show, back to the BCC. but they get out there, and Moxley's kind of stumbling because, you know, I guess he's been through a war with Orange Cassidy at the very end, even though he beat him like a government mule throughout 90% of the match.
I mean, he did take a beach break onto the concrete.
That, okay, yeah, he took that, and he got kicked in the head by the steel steps by Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, so I'll mean...
I'll give you that.
He could be a bit loopy, for sure.
But, so you have Claudio, like, hyping his boy up and hitting the chest and all of that. You had Brian Danielson helping celebrate.
He tried to raise a hand like five times. Mox wouldn't let him.
Yeah. And then you have the fourth guy, who I am now assured Wheeler Yuta is the Michael Nakazawa of the Blackpool Combat Club.
But he got the pin it all in.
That's great. When it came to the very end, what was his job? Hold Moxley's belt and point at him. He turned into Michael Nakazawa.
You always need one on the show. All right, Brent. Hit it.
Okay. This is part of the reason why I wanted to do this.
I heard. Just let it go. Talk about
it. So, in reverse, we have, in eighth place, going 3-9, The Wheel. Not a great night for The Wheel.
No.
In seventh place, going 6-6, so a good 500, Rob. Tim went 7-5 in sixth place. Tied for third, we have Rock, myself, and Subway going 9-3. In second place, going 10-2, one Keishi Matanaga.
Hey!
And in first place, with a resounding 11-1, reaffirming and defending the undisputed title of AEW expert on this channel, one Lindsay Ward. And if you don't believe us, you can go to her channel and see.
Yeah, the expert expert thing doesn't work here. It's in her channel. So there you go. Without two of Receive Radio, not so live. Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. If you missed the Raw Post Show, check it out. We're here every Monday night at 11 p.m. Eastern. Thursday night, it's the Rack. We'll review Payback, talk about CM Punk and more. It's the Rack. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, Fortnite with Friends at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. See you live, the regular show, at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Football season is here. So Expert NFL Picks is back as a weekly segment. Sunday night, it's WTR Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. I think they'll be talking about CM Punk.
Wait, what?
Yeah, maybe.
Did something happen?
We'll see. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Channel, if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. September. Subs are 25% off for now, and if you go 6 months out, they're 30% off. Do the thing, support the channel, click the purple button below the screen. You can use credit card Rock Second 49 item shop, hashtag Epic Partner. Final thoughts on the show, Keish?
Well, considering it was like basically back to back, I thought they did good. I mean, I wouldn't say it was equal to All In, but still up in their sort of like pay per view quality.
Okay.
Just the lower end.
Right.
I think the pay-per-view was all right for what they were doing. I don't think it was the greatest pay-per-view ever, like some people are claiming. I think that is grossly overestimating it. And I would say, I think going into next year, because Tony has said he wants to do this back-to-back pay-per-view thing, he needs to build the second show better, because this entire card was built a week before and not a lot really thought into it. The matches still turned out good, but you gotta have more forethought into it.
Yeah, have people in waiting for it, but it is what it is. But this has been Cero Not So Live. Live, I guess we're back for Wrestle Dream or whatever it's called. In about a month or so. We'll see you all week. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah. So we'll see you all week long, along the areas of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.